Gentlemen of the jury, you are the judges of the evidence to be laid before you. Now be just and fear not, for the true administration of justice is the foundation of good government.
Famous jury trials, dramatizations of cases taken from actual court history. The names of persons and places have been altered to protect the identity of those concerned.
The State versus Hilda Temple.
In tonight's famous jury trial, we take you to a small village in rural America. One of those sleepy little towns which seem to be almost untouched by our modern industrial civilization, where a married man is still considered the absolute head of his family and insists on his right to enforce his wishes upon his wife and children, by force if necessary. This is the story of Hilda Temple, who defied her father and thereby brought grim tragedy into her life and to her family. Listen carefully to all the evidence and decide for yourself whether Hilda Temple was guilty or not guilty. We commence tonight's famous jury trial.
The State versus Hilda Temple.
The trial was underway, and the jury of 12 farmers were sitting tensely listening to the opening speech of the district attorney.
And we will prove to you, gentlemen of the jury, that on the 19th of April of this year, the defendant, Hilda Temple, did willfully and with malice aforethought use a lethal weapon, to wit, a knife, upon her father, that she struck her father with this weapon, causing his death. We will prove that this crime was calculated, cold-blooded, and premeditated. When the evidence is in, gentlemen of the jury, the state will ask you for the only possible verdict: guilty of murder in the first degree. I call the first witness for the state, Miss Annabelle Harkness.
Miss Annabelle Harkness? Miss Annabelle Harkness?
Annabelle Harkness, take a stand, please. Annabelle Harkness, you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I do.
Miss Harkness, you know the defendant, Hilda Temple.
Yes. I reckon I've known Hilda ever since I can remember. We used to be great friends.
Used to be? You mean you aren't friends any longer?
Not the way we were. When we were going to school together, I guess Hilda was my best friend. But then... Then she went away to college.
What difference did that make?
Well, Hilda changed. You wouldn't believe how she changed. She wasn't like the same girl.
In what way did she change?
It was the thing she said about this case, the people here, her own family. She said the people here were ignorant and narrow-minded, and that no civilized person ought to have to put up with them.
Did you ever discuss with her the rights of a father to chastise his family?
Yes. And she said she wouldn't tolerate it.
Did she mention her own father?
Yes. She said he was a brutal, drunken ruffian, and if he ever tried to beat her, she'd... She'd kill him.
She said she'd kill him.
Yes.
Now, Miss Harkness, did you see the defendant at any time on the evening of April 19th?
Yes, I saw her on that night. It was in the Jade Palace. She was there with a boy, Jack Travers. He has the most awful reputation.
Objection. That's hearsay and not evidence. Strike out that about his reputation.
Go ahead, Miss Harkness.
Well, she was drinking with this boy. And as I talked to Taylor on my way out, I stopped there to speak to her for a moment. Hello, Annabelle.
Hello.
Having fun?
Oh, yes.
We're just leaving. It's getting late, you know.
Yes, I know.
Look, Hilda, it's none of my business.
That's right, Anne.
Well, it's your own good. You know the Meg Beeson girl stays out later than this.
Uh-huh.
You know how your father feels about it.
You run along, dear, or you'll be late getting in, and then there'll be a horrible scandal about it. Go on. Run along. Jack and I are busy.
And did you leave then?
Well, I warned her what her father had said, that he was headed for a beating. And she said she could defend herself. She said she'd stop at nothing to defend herself.
I see. Thank you, Miss Harkness. You're a witness, Mr. Bushell.
Miss Harkness, you said that the defendant was drinking that night. Can you tell me what he was drinking?
Oh, highballs. You know, a big glass of ginger ale and a little one of liquor.
Did you see the defendant mix herself such a drink?
Well, no. The tattooers did.
For the defendant?
No. For himself. But if a girl like Hilda goes out with a man like him, she wouldn't mind drinking with him in public. She'd probably have four or five drinks. Big ones, too.
Very interesting, Miss Harkness. But I'll have to ask that all of that very impartial, unprejudiced, kindly reply be stricken from the record. Yes, strike it out. That's all, Miss Harkness.
The prosecutor's next witness is Charles Nielsen.
Charles Nielsen? Charles Nielsen?
Charles Nielsen, take a stand, please. Charles Nielsen, you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I do.
Now, Charles Nielsen, were you in the public library on the afternoon of April 19th?
Yes, sir.
See the defendant there?
Yes, sir. She works there.
Talked with her?
Yes. But there wasn't anyone else around much, so I chatted a while with her at desk.
Another Edgar Wallace, Charlie? Oh, you'll have read them all soon.
I have already. I read this one 2 years ago.
Oh, I see.
Look, Hilly, what about a date tonight, huh?
Look, I'm sorry, Charlie. I'm going to be busy tonight. I've got some cataloging to do and some books to index. Some other night, huh?
Sure, okay. Hey, what's that?
What?
That knife.
Oh, this? Well, that isn't a knife. It's a paper cutter.
Oh, it's got a good 5-inch steel blade.
I guess you could use it as a dagger in a pinch. Well, I've got to do some work. And, Charlie, thanks a lot for asking me tonight.
Charlie, I saw you a paper cutter. Do you recognize it?
Yes, sir. That's the one.
I offer it in evidence, Your Honor.
No objection, Your Honor. The defense will concede the ownership of the instrument.
Received and marked in evidence.
That's all, Johnny. Your witness.
Now, Mr. Nielsen, you say you asked the defendant for a date and she turned you down.
She said she was busy.
Kind of sweet on her, weren't you?
I like her all right, I guess.
Didn't you see her later that night at the palace with another man?
Yes. I did.
Made you kind of sore, huh?
Oh, sure. I was burned up some.
Didn't you then go to the defendant's home and tell her father that Hilda was out drinking and carousing with bad companions?
Well, yes. I was kind of burned up.
I see. Had the defendant's father, Jed Temple, been drinking?
I couldn't say.
Didn't he behave like a drunken man? Didn't he threaten to break her neck?
Yes, something like that.
Did he or didn't he?
Well, yes, I guess he did.
That's all.
Call Dr. Cliff Harlow.
Dr. Cliff Harlow.
Did you go to the Temple home on the night of April 19th?
Yes, sir. About 11 o'clock that night, Mrs. Temple rang me up and said to come on over because Jed had hurt bad.
What did you find when you got there?
Well, it looked like there'd been a struggle in the living room. Things kind of messed around.
Yeah?
Jed was in his room. He'd been stabbed.
stabbed in the back with some long, sharp instrument.
Doctor, have you ever seen this paper cutter here before?
Yes, that was laying on the living room floor that night, covered with blood.
Could the wound you observed have been caused by this instrument?
Yes. In fact, it was caused by that cutter. At least Mrs. Temple told me so.
I see. Now, were you able to do anything for Jed Temple that night?
No, the knife had punctured one of his lungs, and there was a good deal of internal bleeding. He was almost dead when I got there, and he died within 20 minutes.
There is no doubt but that this stab wound was the cause of his death?
None whatever.
Did Jed Temple tell you who had stabbed him?
Your Honor, I object. Anything that Jed Temple said was a privileged communication between him and his doctor, and cannot be repeated here. Besides, it is a conversation with a deceased person, and inadmissible as evidence on that ground as well.
Your Honor, this communication is obviously not privileged. It was the statement of a dying man naming his murderer. If that isn't evidence, I don't know what evidence is.
Your Honor, I...
Order! Order, please. I will allow your question, Mr. District Attorney.
Answer the question, please, Doctor. Did Jed Temple tell you who had stabbed him?
Yes. He said it was his daughter, Hilda. He said he was fixing to chastise Hilda, and she got hold of this knife and stabbed him in the back. He said they were trying to make out I fell on the knife, but that's a lie. Hilda stabbed me.
Order! Order! Order!
Your Honor, the prosecution's case is completed.
Now, while the defense makes ready to answer the charge, we withdraw for a brief recess.
And now we take you back to the courtroom where the case for the prosecution has been closed and the defense lawyer has called as his first witness Hilda's mother, Mrs. Jed Temple.
Now, Mrs. Temple, there's been a lot of gossip and innuendo brought into this trial. All to the effect that your daughter was fast, immoral, and so on. What do you say to that?
Hilda was never bad. She was as good as gold. But she just didn't understand folks here, and they didn't understand her.
She didn't understand them, even though she lived here all her life.
Hilda was ambitious, and she had ideas. She was intolerant of our ways. As intolerant as she thought the rest of the folks were, though she couldn't see that, bless her. She just couldn't understand why, when she could show that something or other was plain common sense, all the rest of us just didn't drop our old ways and do like she suggested.
You understood her pretty well.
Oh, yes. I was something like that myself when I was her age. When you get older, things like that don't seem so important. Or maybe it's just that you get tired.
Yes. Now, how did Hilda get along with her father?
They didn't agree about anything much, and Jed would try to enforce his commands by brute strength. That worked all right when she was a little girl, but after she'd been away to college, she wouldn't put up with it. She'd fight back if she had to.
Was she afraid of him?
Yes, of course. You see, my husband wasn't a bad man, but when he'd been drinking, well, he didn't realize what he was doing. He was very strong.
Why did Hilda stay at home then if her father mistreated her? She had a job of her own.
I urged her to go away. I knew she was miserable here, but she wouldn't go on my account.
Your account?
Yes. You see, when Hilda was away at college, Jed had hurt me quite badly. Hilda said she was never going to leave me alone with him again.
I see. Now, on the night your husband died, will you tell us what happened, please?
Jed came in drunk that night. I could see that he was in an ugly mood, and I knew that there was going to be trouble. Well, later on, Charlie Nelson came in and told him that Hilda was out misbehaving herself. Well, Jed was wild. Tried to quiet him, but after Charlie had gone, and then I finally got him into bed.
What time did Hilda come in?
About 11 o'clock. I waited up for her and told her what had happened. Our whispering must have waked her because a moment later he came into the room.
And then?
He cursed Hilda. He called her names, awful names. He said that he was going to beat her, and he got a lot of belt from his room.
Yes?
We both tried to stop him, and he hit her once with a belt, and we all three struggled, and things were knocked down to the floor all over the room. And finally, Greg turned and hit me, and I fell to my knees, and then Hilda gave him a push, and he stumbled and fell.
Go ahead, Mrs. Temple.
He got slowly to his feet, and then I saw the dagger in his back, where he had fallen on it.
Thank you, Mrs. Temple. Your witness.
Mrs. Temple, in the struggle you described so graphically, can you swear that your daughter did not stab her father?
Yes, I can.
How do you know? You testified that you had been knocked to your hands and knees just before your husband stumbled and fell.
Well, that's true. But Hilda couldn't have stabbed Dad all the same, because the knife was right there on the floor, right in front of me. I saw it there just before Dad fell. There was no chance for Hilda to have picked it up and used it.
Mm. You saw the knife plainly?
Yes.
You're nearsighted, aren't you, Mrs. Temple?
Yes.
Wear glasses?
Yes.
Did you have them on that night?
I did at first, but they were knocked off in the struggle.
However, you saw the knife very clearly. That's all, Mrs. Temple.
Call Hilda Temple.
Hilda Temple? Hilda Temple? Hilda Temple?
Hilda Temple, take a stand, please. Hilda Temple, you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, to help you, God.
I do.
Hilda, will you tell the jury how the paper knife which you used in the library happened to be in your home the night your father died?
I came to some books home to work on that knife, and I just brought the knife along, too. I used it to cut the pages of new books.
I see. Did you work on those things that night?
I started to, and then a boy named Jack Travis came by and asked me to go out to him.
And you went?
Yes. You see, Jack is misunderstood here, as I am. And when he's unhappy, he does things. Well, you know, he's got to do something deliberately just to get people excited.
Yes.
I can manage him when he's in one of those moods. So even though I planned to work, I didn't think I ought to let Jack go out by himself in the mood he was in.
Yes, of course. Now, you've heard your mother's account of what happened that evening. Have you anything to add to that testimony?
No, nothing.
You did not kill or try to injure your father in any way?
No, I did not. I tried to keep him from beating me. That's all.
Thank you, Miss Temple.
Miss Temple, where did you leave that paper knife when you went out that evening?
On the living room table.
Was it there when you came back?
Yes.
You noticed where the knife was when you came in?
I guess so.
So that when your father came at you to beat you with a strap, you knew just where that knife was?
No.
You didn't know where it was? Oh,
yes, I knew, but I never dreamed of using it.
Where was your father when he fell to the floor stabbed? By the table, wasn't he?
Yes.
Where were you? You were by the table too, weren't you?
Yes, but the knife was on the floor. Mother saw it there.
Did you see it there?
No, but
your mother is nearsighted, isn't she?
Yes.
Hilda Temple, didn't you state in the presence of witnesses that if your father tried to beat you, you would kill him?
Yes.
And when your father did try to punish you, you stabbed him, didn't you?
No.
You carried out your threat, didn't you?
No.
You murdered your father.
No, you messed it all up. It's a lie.
Order. Order. No more questions.
The defense rests, Your Honor. Sum up, please, Counselor. Your Honor, gentlemen of the jury, the state has not shown that Hilda Temple struck the blow that killed her father. The state has not even shown that she held the fatal weapon in her hand at any time that night. This is the clearest case of accidental death that I've ever come across.
everything that Hilda Temple did that night, she did to protect herself from the brutal attack of a drunken, sadistic bully. She had every legal right to defend herself. And when she pushed her father so that he stumbled and fell in his drunken rage, it was justice that he fell upon the knife. Justice! There are two witnesses to all that happened that night. The defendant and Mrs. Temple. Are you going to disbelieve them and believe a story which the district attorney has made up and for which he cannot advance one shred of proof? Gentlemen, I ask you to free this young, innocent girl from the charge against her with a verdict of not guilty. Order!
Order.
The prosecution will sum up.
Your Honor, gentlemen of the jury, my eloquent colleague has stated that there is no evidence against Miss Hilda Temple. Well, let's take a look at the record. First, we have Hilda Temple's brazen, cold-blooded threat to kill her father if he attempted to exercise a father's right to chastise his child. Next, we have the weapon, which admittedly belongs to the defense. And finally, we have the dying words of Hilda Temple's father. He said, "Hilda stabbed me. They are trying to say I fell on the knife, but I didn't. Hilda stabbed me with it." Could anything be clearer than those words? Would they have been uttered if they were not true? Would a father accuse his own child of the most terrible of all crimes if she were not guilty? No, gentlemen. Hilda Temple stands convicted with the blood of her father upon her guilty hands. It is up to you to see that she pays for her crime with her life.
Order! Order! Before I now instruct the jury, all those desiring to leave the court may do so.
The testimony is complete. In a moment, we return to the courtroom for the jury's verdict. In this case, the state versus Hilda Temple. The jury was out exactly 31 minutes before sending back word that it was in agreement. The judge then called for order, and the sharply divided courtroom waited anxiously for the climax as the jury slowly returned to the court.
Has the jury reached a verdict?
We have, Your Honor.
And how do you find?
We find the defendant, Hilda Temple, guilty as charged.
No, 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 she didn't do it. She didn't.
Order, order, madam.
She didn't do it. No, no, no. I killed him. I killed my husband.
Order, order. Mr. Temple, order.
Please let me speak. I told the exact truth when I was on the stand, but I left out one thing. When Jed turned on me and struck me, I fell to my hands and knees, and from there, right in front of me on the floor, was Hilda's knife. I picked it up. And suddenly, all the pain and humiliation of my life of Jed, all the pent-up anger of years, all that gave me strength to Hilda's sake, to wait for it was the only way. I got to my feet and I struck hard and deep. Hilda didn't see me do it in the confusion. She really thought that her father had fallen on the knife. But Jed knew he'd been stabbed before he fell. That's why he accused Hilda. He never suspected me at all.
Order! Order!
Well, that's all. I didn't think that they would convict Hilda. I didn't think that I'd have to tell the truth. But I'm not sorry for what I did. I'm glad not to do it again.
Mrs. Temple was put on trial for the murder of her husband. And the jury found her guilty, but recommended clemency. She was sentenced to 20 years in prison, but later released on parole. The charge against Hilda Temple was, of course, dismissed. famous jury trial, the drama of the court, drawn from actual courtroom cases. This is a Grace Gibson radio production, directed by Lawrence H. Bessel.